Dr. Dre, what you waiting on? Crank it up.
Blog Talk Radio.
You ready, Rob?
Let's do this, Doc. Let's do it.
All right, here we go. So let's take a little while to get this party started. That's okay. Here we go, here we go.
Live it up a little
here,
bit.
I'm trying to get it popping. There it is. There it is. There it is.
Talking sports.
Here we go.
Coming to you live from Atlanta and New Orleans. Spectrum.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
Kiss you forgot, yeah, the time is now.
Our time is now, people.
I love it. Rob was spitting during the little intro. That's what it's all about. Hey, of course, when I welcome everyone, of course, to Talking Sports with the 12th Man today. It is a special night. It's actually Wednesday, the 24th, but that doesn't stop us, Rob. We're going to keep it moving. We're going to keep it going. And you
make
are
it do what it do, now. Can't stop now.
Yeah, so it's all about, yeah, we're officially Talking Sports with the 12th Man. If you didn't know, now you know I am your host, Andre Peterson, joined by my co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. On this special Wednesday night edition. And as always, like we do every single show, I always want to check in with my co-host, Mr. Robert Ford. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Man, doing fabulous. Ready to get this party started. How about you?
Same thing, sir. Let's go ahead and kick it off. As always, we want to throw out our numbers. If anyone wants to call in and share their thoughts on that fun stuff, I've been getting some good feedback on Facebook groups, so I got to share that with you, too. But anyway, come on to the show. The number, as always, it's 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. It is a toll-free number if you're checking out there. We're also available in social media. If you want to follow us, reach out to us via Twitter. We are available at the number 12, THMAN Sports. That's our Twitter handle. And we're also available on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/12 Man Sports, or if you put in Talking Sports with the 12th Man, you will be able to find a beautiful shot of me, maybe one of Rob, but, you know, it's what it's all about. Anyway, let's get this party started. Man, we got a lot of things to talk about. NFL football, there's been a lot of interesting situations, Rob, and I feel like the NFL, Rob, is like the weather, man. It's unpredictable. Unpredictable.
Absolutely. You know, very much so. It's a lot of parity. It's like that every year in the NFL. It's definitely a league full of parity. You never know. Every year there's going to be some teams that come out of nowhere that's going to surprise you. So that's the beauty of it.
Yeah, you see a team like the Chargers go around and mess around and beat Seattle. In Seattle, you think Seattle's going to get handed to them by Denver. Denver played them tough, too, and so they end up losing that particular game, too. So it's like you said, you never know how everything's going to turn out for sure. Very exciting.
Absolutely.
Couple weekends, so let's keep moving. I do want to talk, we're going to jump off this particular episode. We're talking about some NFL predictions, and pretty interesting game is that I'd be remiss. I mean, 1 week, like we talked about it being unpredictable, you had the Carolina Panthers shutting down a very explosive offense in the Detroit Lions, but then yet and still they get beat by a Pittsburgh Steelers team, Rob, that I would honestly say they really aren't an offensive juggernaut. So, you know, it's just interesting that front. But then you got Carolina traveling to Baltimore. What are your thoughts about this first game right off the shoot for our NFL South, one of our teams, if you will?
Well, you know, you look at this matchup here, both teams are 2-1. The Ravens have won their last two games, of course. And Carolina, of course, coming off of a loss. And Steve Smith is very excited. He's made no secret about how excited he is playing against his former team. He's saying he wants to prove to them that he's still got a lot of football left. And based on how he's been playing this year, he's showing that he's still got some football left in him. And I was actually one that was right on the edge of writing him off. Didn't think he was the same player anymore, but I know we're only three games into the season, and he's off to a very good start this season, playing phenomenal football for the Ravens, still showing the physicality and toughness that he brings, even at a small frame of 5'9". I like the Ravens at home in this game. I really do. I thought going into the season that the Panthers will fall off this season. I still feel like we're going to start seeing it at some point. And I like the Ravens at home. They'll get to 3-1, and the Panthers will fall down to 2-2.
Hey, Steve Smith's got three words for you, Rob.
Go ahead with him.
Ice up, son. Ice up. That's what he just tweeted me, man. He told you to ice up, man. He just wants you to know, man. He still got it, man. He didn't want you, you know, to forget that, man. He's still doing his thing right about now. Oops, sorry about that, Robson Service. I got caught. My bad. I got caught in a little crossfire there. But he said to ice up, and he's going to be ready for you too, Rob. I'm just telling you. All right, let's keep it moving here. What do you think about the you know, I think it's going to be a tough game. I do think that I agree with you in that Baltimore's going to pull it off only because you got a very what's the word I'm looking for? Incensed Steve Smith. He's going to be ready to play, so it's going to be a tough game. You know, I know Cam has kind of struggled last game. So we'll see how that plays out too, but it's going to be tough for them to pull it off versus Baltimore at home.
Yeah, we're on the same page with that pick. And I think the Ravens had a very good home win where they just whipped up on the Steelers a few weeks ago. And I think the quality win on the road going against the Cleveland team that I think is very improved this year as well. So I think these are two nice wins for the Ravens. And I totally agree with you. I see them taking care of business at home against the Panthers.
Buffalo at Houston, this is another interesting matchup as well. 2-1 teams as well, I think that's what you picked. You know, obviously Houston got a little setback. And you called it, too, that the defense was going to keep them in a couple of games. And then you got a Buffalo, a very surprising Buffalo team, Rob, that's been playing pretty well. Obviously, we're seeing the makings of a dynamic wide receiver in Sammy Watkins. But they're playing at Houston. Do you give Houston the nod? I know Arian Foster didn't really play a lot last game, too, but what do you think about this particular matchup, if you will?
Yeah, I think Houston's going to win a defensive struggle game. I'm thinking a 17-14 kind of victory for the Texans at home to get them back to 3-1. I still think at some point this season, Houston is going to fall back down to earth, and we're going to look at an average ball club here, somewhere between 6 to 8 wins, but getting off to a nice start. And I think, obviously, long-term, in order for this team in Houston to be successful, they're going to have to get a franchise quarterback. And I think with Buffalo, if you're Buffalo, you're starting to see some encouraging signs from E.J. Manuel that he can possibly be that guy. So that's encouraging. The Chargers helped bring them down to earth. And I think quietly, the Chargers, you know, we just mentioned them briefly. I know that's not part of the subject topic here. But I think quietly they're having a very heck of a season. Their defense is playing extremely well. I know we're only 3 games into the season, but if Phillip Rivers stay at this pace, it might be the best season in the league. This history so far. So they're getting quality play in a lot of areas. The wide receiver position looks to be improved. They got 2 tight ends that can catch the football. Very good defense. They're going to take a little blow with losing Manti Te'o for a little while. He's been a leading tackler. But they've been playing extremely good football. They go on the road and beat Buffalo. But I think Buffalo will fall to 2-2. I think they'll lose a close one at home to Houston.
Should be interesting. Houston got flambassed by the Giants, Rob. And, you know, it's just the Giants are heckle and jive. Jekyll and Hyde, if you will.
Heckle and Jive.
Heckle and Jive, whatever you want to call it, Jekyll and Hyde, yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I agree with you. It's going to be a tight game. You want to give a slight advantage to the home team in this particular instance. I think, I don't know, I think Buffalo's going to have some things too. You hope that Houston kind of rights the ship for sure, but I agree that they definitely need a franchise quarterback. I'm not quite sure if Ryan Mallett is the answer, so we'll see what they do draft wise too. But we'll as always, we'll see how that plays out as we continue on.
And to our listeners here, stay tuned for a possible quarterback solution for the Houston Texans that you possibly can trade for. Stay tuned for that in a little while.
You talking about a little RG3 action here? We'll see how that plays out, Rob. I like where your head's at.
Hey, you can't give away. It's a tease, man. You can't give it away.
is Tebow coming back? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, I'm talking about Tebow, exactly.
Man. Pretty interesting move in that the Vikings placed Matt Castle in the IR with a broken foot. This is pretty recent, obviously. And this was versus your Saints, Rob. So I want to give a quick check in with you. How do you think Teddy Bridgewater is going to lead the Vikings? And I know they were kind of wanted to keep him on the bench and let him kind of like progress, but now he's going to be thrown into the mix. What's your thought process about Teddy Bridgewater? How did he play versus your Saints, even though they ended up losing the game? And I think that I'll let you finish your thought here. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say that I definitely think the offense is going to be real simplified. It definitely hurts the Vikings with the whole Adrian Peterson thing. So I think he's going to struggle, Rob. They don't really have that running game, to say the least, and they're going to simplify the offense. They don't have too many weapons. You just have Cordell Patterson. You got an older Greg Jennings. I think it's going to be a tough, tough year for the Vikings, and it may be a situation where the rich gets richer because they may get a pretty top, pretty big top draft pick. But give us your thoughts, sir.
Well, I hate to, break this news to our listening audience, but I actually haven't had a chance to watch the Saints and Vikings game from this past weekend, so I probably don't have the best eyes on how Bridgewater performed. I was actually in Los Angeles over the weekend, doing some homework on the Lakers and UCLA and USC. So I don't have any a whole lot of homework on my own Saints and the Vikings game from this past week. But based on the reports from some of my sources from the game, Bridgewater looked pretty effective. Obviously, they settled for 3 field goals, but he was able to move the team a little bit and, have some ability. And, if you look at a lot of his college tape, you can see that there's some very good quarterback skills there. And I think long-term, he's going to be a solid to really good NFL pro, just on my evaluation. I agree with what you're saying. Defensively, the Vikings are better than a lot of people think. They got 7 first-round picks on that defense, and they got a lot of good young talent. They fly to the football. And I think Mike Zimmer is doing a phenomenal job with that defense. And and they got one of the better pass defenses in the league. So, they're going to have to rely on that. But I still think, they're young in the wrong positions. Cordarrelle Patterson is one of the most explosive players in the league. So they got to find ways to get the football in his hands more. But, I think at this rate, I think long-term, the future looks bright for this team. But I think this year you're looking at a 5-7 win team.
Appreciate that, Rob. Very good insight. I did not mean to call you out about you not watching the Saints yet. I know everyone's crazy busy. That happens to me sometimes too, man. But look forward to getting your feedback too as we continue on the show too. So definitely no worries. That's what we're all about here. So we're almost halfway into the show, and I do once again want to reiterate the phone numbers if you want to call in the show, give us your thoughts. Once again, 424-243-9519 is our call number. Once again, 424-243-9519. I know we're going to talk about some teams that RG3 can be traded to help them. And I did get a quick Facebook notification too, Rob. So whenever you're ready to make that transition, this is actually relating to domestic violence, and we're kind of sick of talking about that. But it was an interesting thought that I wanted to bring up too. So tell us real quick about some teams that you think RG3 can definitely be traded and actually help them, if you will.
Well, I think if you're the Washington Redskins, you got to turn the franchise over to Kirk Cousins, number one. I think you're going to have to just come out and say, hey, he's just a better quarterback, And I think Stevie Wonder can see it. And, I think Ray Charles can see it. And, you're just going to have to say, hey, Kirk Cousins is your starting quarterback if you're the Washington Redskins. The way he's moving the football the last couple of weeks, it looked like he scored almost 40 points, 2 straight games with him at the quarterback position. He's decisive with his throws, and, I like one of the things that Sean Payton always says, you go by what you see, and if you base it off of the Redskins and base it off what they see, Kirk Cousins is a better quarterback, obviously. So I think you got to, you know, RG3, look like he's going to be out another 5 to 8 weeks or so. And if you still think he has some talent there, I think he can still possibly help a few teams out in the league. So, you know, at one point, the Redskins were possibly looking to trade Cousins, but now I think, in my opinion, you got to go ahead and trade RG3, let Cousins be that guy. You kind of spoiled my tease a little while ago. I think Houston is one of those teams that maybe should give RG3 a look and possibly turn the reins over to him. Maybe the end of this season, early next year. I think Houston, this is a team that should give a real close eye of the situation and the injury. Another team I think is the Tennessee Titans. There's still a lot of question marks regarding Jake Locker. And, you know, this is the last year of his contract. Still seems to be a little injury prone there. And, you know, I thought going into the season that Ken Whisenhunt was going to be the guy to help turn him around. And I thought after week one maybe we were seeing it, but after he's seen these last couple of last 2 weeks, it doesn't look that way. I think if you're the Dallas Cowboys, you should give RG3 a look. Tony Romo looking up in age and still, you know, does some bonehead stuff from time to time with the football. And so I think if you're the Cowboys, I think RG3 could be the perfect complement for a team that's going to run a ball control offense. And the Cowboys look to be that's becoming their strength offensively. And RG3 might could be a good fit there as well. Dallas offensive line is becoming really good running the football. DeMarco Murray is becoming one of the top running backs in the league as well. And you give a ball control play action offense with RG3, I think they could be effective. I think Tampa Bay desperately could use RG3 as well. They can breathe some life into that quarterback position there in Tampa Bay. And so that could be interesting. He could possibly help them as well. So far this year, they look like the worst team in the NFL. And so they need something to bring some life. And the St. Louis Rams, another team. I think they're finally going to close that door shut with Sam Bradford. And they're going to have to move on. And this kid, Austin Davis, has been looking really good for St. Louis as well. But I think you can still give RG3 a look there if you're the Rams too.
Rob, looks like he's already ready, America, to end the RG3 era in Washington. So tweet us, man. Tell us your thoughts about this, man. He is ready to put a stop to that with a quickness. A couple points I do want to bring up, Rob, is that, you know, I don't trust Romo as it is. So for all my Cowboy fans, I apologize, out there. You know, obviously.
Cowboy fans don't trust Romo either, so. You know.
They're just like, man, when is this nightmare going to be over? You know, they've been having some challenges too, Rob, because Morris Claiborne has actually left. He left practice here now that Orlando Standard came back. So, man, you talk about a young player that's been really kind of a little up and down right now in his career, man. What do you think about that real quick?
Yeah, very surprising because I thought his rookie season, I thought he had a very good rookie season at the cornerback position. He started his very first season with the Cowboys, was very effective in both the return game and in coverage. He had some INTs, pick sixes in his rookie season. He's kind of dropped off a little bit, not sure what it is. I don't know if it's because it's changing coordinators. What the reason is, but athletically, you know, even going back to his LSU days, I mean, he was one of the very good athlete, good size for a cornerback, and so, I mean, the athleticism is there. There's no doubt about it. So it's going to be interesting. I think you got to find a way to bring out that athleticism, see if you can coach him up. If not, if it doesn't work this year, you got to look to see if you can move him after this season.
Good thoughts, and that was Andre just throwing a quick little curveball to Rob. To get back on the RG3 scenario, I like the teams that you threw out there. There's going to be a lot of interesting things happening in college and versus who's going to be an option for some of these quarterbacks. quarterback team, excuse me, the quarterback hungry teams. Very interesting that you threw in, you know, if you talk about the Rams, obviously, yeah, it looks like Sam Bradford was the last one that got the big-time quarterback deals once the new CBA rolled out, too. So he's his era is probably over. I'm probably sitting counting my money if I'm him. And I like there's some teams here that are very interesting. You know, definitely, as I take kind of a, you know, 300-foot view, you know, it is still young in the season. So, you know, obviously you talk about Austin Davis, you want to see how he progresses. You know, is Josh McDown the answer for Tampa Bay? You don't know, is Mike Glennon the answer? We don't really know. So there's a couple of question marks that we're going to probably see evolve as the season continues to progress. But one thing I am going to co-sign with you, Rob, is that, yeah, it does seem like Kirk Cousins is a better fit in that offense. And you do wonder if that was a slight with Mike Shanahan kind of going out, because I think Dan Snyder really wanted RG3, and I don't think that's what Mike Shanahan pretty much wanted. So he made the move to draft Cousins. Now he's getting the last laugh for sure, Rob.
Absolutely. It's kind of unfortunate because RG3's rookie season was very electric. Helped the Redskins win that division. And he just doesn't seem to be the same player. I don't know if it's because of the injuries or coaching, but he just doesn't seem to be that player. I mean, his rookie season was just as good or better than Andrew Luck's, and, you know, led the Redskins to the playoffs. And, you know, he was throwing a long ball, very effective, deadly, accurate with the football. He wasn't turning it over. They were winning games. And so it's you know, it's unfortunate, but I think if you're the Redskins, you got to believe what you see. And that's that at the moment, Kirk Cousins is the guy that seems to be progressing the most. And I mean, they're just lighting up the scoreboard with him at the quarterback position.
Yeah, I agree. It's pretty interesting as well, too. I do want to talk about an interesting move in that the Jacksonville Jaguars decided to start the Blake Bortles era a little early. Whenever they were talking, they're going to put him on the sheet. And expectations, Rob, I'm actually a fan of Blake Bortles. And at first, you know, you kind of had to scratch your head with the pick that high, because I'm sure not everyone thought that was going to actually happen. But I like Blake Bortles. I'm not going to say he's a second coming, but I think he's going to do pretty well. And he's got enough, not enough gumption and a lot of intangibles to actually pull off and be a franchise quarterback, I believe.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I thought out of all the rookie quarterbacks you saw in the preseason, I think he performed the best. And I thought he could definitely have been a starter from day one with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Obviously, they wanted to see him mature a little bit. And obviously, Jacksonville is getting off to a horrid start offensively. They're 0-3. It's probably no better time to get him out there and learn on the job. I mean, obviously, Jacksonville's not going to the playoffs this year. But what you want to see is Blake Bortles to grow in these last 13 games and develop into becoming your future NFL starting quarterback. And you hope he'll turn into be a star that can lead you, you know, to some very big games down the line. So I think it's, you know, you throw him out there, let's see what he can do, and let's coach him up and help him to grow.
Good calls on all fronts, Robin, and I definitely agree with you too, man. So it's like the future is now, so we got to keep moving for sure. I do want to make a quick note. Big shout out to Cousin Jimmy, my cousin out in California, James Redding. We call him Jimmy. He made an interesting point, and I know we're sick about talking about the domestic violence and whatnot. It's good to bring awareness, but he wanted to pull up an interesting case where Hope Solo was actually you know, charged, if you will, for domestic violence against her nephew. So it just seems like it's a little double standard, because, you know, she's still playing soccer right now. She's not running into a lot of the issues that some of the NFL players are. I don't know if you want to comment on that, but I just, you know, Jimmy's like, hey, make sure you bring that up on your show. That right now, because there's a little double standard going on right now for sure.
Well, I think here's the deal with it. The NFL just has a lot more popularity, and it becomes magnified when a player in the National Football League does something of that magnitude. And that's what you see there. That's the difference. You know, nobody knows Not too many people knows Hope Solo, but everybody knows Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson, these type of players. It just becomes a little bit more magnified when someone of that magnitude does it.
Good call. And anyway, I did my job, Jimmy. I just wanted to bring awareness. That's all I wanted to do. We got about 4.5 minutes, Rob. Four minutes, about 50-something seconds. Let's get into some fantasy shout-outs. Hopefully we can fit all of that in before we get ready for the OT portion of the show.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Of course, you know, we have 3 fantasy football leagues going on, talking sports to the 12th man. And our first league, league number one, I'm going to give a shout-out to KC the Lion, right there in the Atlanta area, Detroit Lions fans. He's in first place at 3-0 in the league, off to a great start. And, you know, one shout-out I'll mention to Casey, he was at the bottom of the league last year. He's off to a great start this year, so he stuck with it. You know, stick to them with this. How you say the word, Bill Raftery? Call in the show. He stuck to it. He's gotten better at fantasy football. And this year is paying off for him so far, off to a 3-0 start, after finishing dead last year in the league.
He was probably tired.
And the biggest win of the week was actually my team, NOLA Breakers, over my brother's team, Orlando's team, 153.30 to 116 over 0.40. So shout out to myself, I guess. You know, need more victories. And league number two. League number two, shout out to It's My Year. They're 3-0. Rudy right here in the New Orleans area, first place so far with a 3-0 record. The biggest win of the week, SmackDown. Chester right here in New Orleans as well with a 114.72 over ATL Black Belt, 67.70. So that's a big win for SmackDown. And league number three, our money league. The Ooh. Champ is here. He's in first place, and he had the biggest win of the week. The champ is here, right here in New Orleans there as well, 138.37 over the King, 82.48. Those are our fantasy shout-outs of the week. Let's keep competing, keep having fun with it. Still a lot of football to be played, gentlemen. If you're in last place, don't give up. Keep fighting.
Yeah, maybe. No, I'm just joking. Keep it moving, as always. We tend to have a good time with that, too. And I love the fact this is a good time for us to start talking a little smack talk. But it's been a good start. Just like in real NFL, we have a long way to go. And we appreciate you guys playing and definitely your feedback and whatnot. Like I said, we like to keep things fun and exciting, too. So anyway. That's what we got. Rob, we got officially about 2 minutes, sir, so we are right into the section we want to get ready to prep America about the OT portion of the show, so I'll leave that in your hands as always, sir.
Absolutely. We certainly appreciate our listeners tuning in. Next week, we do believe we'll be back on our regular schedule Tuesday night, so definitely pay attention. Visit us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter as well so you can get all of our updates. But we should be back on Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. You don't want to miss next week's show. Of course, we've got a lot of college football to discuss next week as well as NFL. So that's going to be the bulk of our show. NBA's training camps are getting ready to start next week too. So we'll start squeezing in a little bit of that as well. And definitely want to tune in next week. And we're getting ready to go into our OT portion tonight. Of course, we can't give you that portion live. So definitely, if you have a break on tomorrow, quick 15-minute break, click on the same link. You can get our OT portion. We still have some college football and a little bit of NBA to discuss on our OT portion. So you don't want to miss that as well.
Gotcha. We always appreciate you, Rob, setting the stage for that. Once again, thank you to everyone out there in America for listening to. Shout out, obviously, to James Redding, Jimmy, as well as Mario. We appreciate you listening in and all your fun stuff. And also my dad, he's a huge fan of us too, Rob, so I know he wanted to say that too. So we're going to talk about coaches on the hot seat in college football. We're also going to talk about some predictions over the weekend. And, Rob, you mentioned the NBA is right around the corner. Eric Bledsoe gets a deal with the Suns too, so we'll that's our tease. Hopefully I'll do a better job of that for the next time too. But anyway, good night, people, if you don't get a chance to listen to us live.
Good night, people.
Just got it in, as always, and we are officially into the OT portion of the show. Rob, this is pretty funny. I put in Coaches on the Hot Seat for 2014. There's an actual website, Rob, that says coacheshotseat.com.
Wow.
So just letting you know, it actually is out there. Yeah, and it's pretty interesting. I'm going to go over the – I'm probably going to go to the top five here. And this is one of those that I don't know. Some of these are a little far-fetched. I'm going to go out there, and I'm just going to say for me, I think a person, the coach that is in the hot seat, and he's in a pretty good scenario or a pretty top school is Florida, Will Muschamp. You know, they've got the number one hot seat person is Ron Turner at Florida International. I don't know how accurate that is. Charlie Weiss is up there. I'm thinking Brady Hoke is a candidate too, if you will. Throw it out there, Rob. You got some options for your top coaches or that are on the hot seat. So I'm looking forward to hearing your comments.
Oh, great. Well, I have four that coaches that I was going to talk about. You just mentioned three of the four that I have on my list as well. Of course, number one is Will Muschamp. Will Muschamp is at Florida. Of course, he's in a state with a ton of football talent. Obviously, you got to compete with Florida State for those recruits, Miami, and even big schools around the country that come into Florida and get some players. But it's there's no way that the University of South Carolina should be winning more games in Florida. And basically, the reason why South Carolina is winning more games is because South Carolina is a better coach who's developing their players. And Florida has a ton of talent. And it's obvious to see that the players are not being developed properly. And so I think this is definitely a make-or-break season for Florida and Will Muschamp in Florida, even though they went on the road to Alabama. That was a good butt-whipping they just got in Alabama. So I think Will Muschamp's seat is very hot. And matter of fact, there's fire coming up in that seat. And, you know, as we speak, so I think his seat is very hot. Brady Hoke might be, this could be a 1A, 1B for these as far as hot seats. And, you know, there's a part of me that's hoping that Michigan gets rid of Brady Hoke and hope that Les Miles will finally say yes to Michigan and get out of Louisiana so we can get an innovative coach down here. And but I think Brady Hoke is, of course, and here's the problem with the state of Michigan right now. It's hard to build a successful program if you can't recruit top players within 250 miles of your school. The state of Michigan is just not producing top-notch talent. And but, you know, you see Michigan State is having some success recruiting some three-star players.
Yeah.
And they're coaching these guys up, developing them, having them redshirt a year so they can be ready to play. And so you have to look down the road and say, hey, if Michigan State is not getting elite players either, but they're coaching players up, redshirting them for a year before they get on the field. And so there's got to be some form of a system that they can do at Michigan as well. So, I hate to root for somebody to lose their job, but, you know, we would like to see Les Miles go up to Michigan. And but, you know, if Hoke leave, the first two names on Michigan's wish list is going to be Les Miles and Jim Harbaugh. So that would be interesting there to follow the Michigan situation. Charlie Weiss, you mentioned him as well. He's on my list there in Kansas. Obviously, Kansas is more of a basketball school, so it's still extremely hard for them to build a successful football program. And I think if Weiss loses this gig, I think he needs to go back to sticking with being an offensive coordinator somewhere and leave the head coaching alone. And my last guy on the list, Norm Chow, head coach of Hawaii, who's been a very successful offensive coordinator in college over the years. He was with Pete Carroll in USC when he was winning those national championships. here's another guy that just may not be head coach material and needs to go back to being an elite head coach. And, you know, it's hard. You know, June Jones had some success getting players to leave the mainland to come to Hawaii. But that's a long way to be trying to get top recruits to come and play. You play so late at night when you're at home. You're not going to get the TV exposure to get those top-notch recruits. And I think, you know, that's been a tough job for Norm Chow. And I think if he loses that gig, you know, there'll be teams lining up to sign him to be an offensive play caller.
Wow. Good stuff, Rob. I like it. Rob, you really brought it during that, man. That's impressive, sir. Woo! Rob was ready to go about coaching on the hot seat. Man, okay. All right. Maybe we'll have – no, I'm just joking. I was going to say maybe we should keep it going. I like it. Good calls. One thing I definitely want to talk – I want to go back to Michigan real quick, Rob. You know, now we may be looking at, you know, that Michigan made a premature decision in releasing Rich Rodriguez. So they actually wish they could go back now and bring that back too, because Brady Hoke is looking like Brady Joke. We'll keep an eye on that scenario. I like the change. You mentioned Jim Harbaugh is a possibility. I can't believe you guys are ready to give up on Les Miles already. You know, you got to have another coach in waiting, but, you know, good stuff. I like the fire. I like the intensity. Good job, Rob, on that particular segue, sir.
You have to bring it.
You have to bring it. Let's talk about UCLA traveling to number 15 Arizona State. This is our only ranked game this weekend, it looks like. Tell us your college football pro predictions for this particular game. Arizona State, they're right in the middle of the pack. You got a very talented UCLA team. So tell us your thoughts about this, Rob, and what do you think the predictions for this particular weekend?
Well, you know, I don't know if you had an opportunity to see UCLA play this year, but they have been very underwhelming, if you will. The offensive line is extremely weak, and this is not, in my opinion, a top 15 football team in the country. And I think you're going to see it this Thursday night, or tomorrow night, as a matter of fact. This is a Thursday night game. I think Arizona State can win this game by 2 touchdowns at home. And UCLA was a team I thought was a sleeper team, but it just have not lived up to the billing. The offensive line is poor, and this is going to be a rough one. And I think you'll see it. UCLA will get their first loss tomorrow night. I like Arizona State at home.
Wow. Good call. Slight, I love the home field advantage thing, so we'll keep an eye on that too. We're almost wrapping up, Rob. I know it's been a long day for everyone. We wouldn't be remiss if we didn't get a chance to slip in some NBA talk. And word on the street is that it's pretty much a done deal, and that the Phoenix Suns actually signed my guy Eric Bledsoe to a 5-year, $70 million contract. What do you think about that? Is he worth it? That's a good move, bad move? What are your thoughts about this, Rob?
Well, the only thing that's confusing to me about this deal for Phoenix, I know the Timberwolves really wanted Eric Bledsoe. They wanted to work out a sign and trade. Phoenix wasn't hearing that. Obviously, if you're Eric Bledsoe, this is a great deal for him. I just wonder how Phoenix is going to utilize him, and is he worth that kind of money based on the way you're going to utilize him? Because, you know, you still have Goran Dragic on his team, and now they're trying to sign Goran Dragic's brother, Zoran Dragic. And so a lot of these players are playing the same position. So how are you going to utilize these players effectively? And so it's going to be very interesting to see how Phoenix will handle that. I think Phoenix is one of those teams that's somewhere between 6 and 11 in the Western Conference. So they are a borderline team that possibly has a chance to make the playoffs. And just as in the case last year, they were the first team that missed the playoffs in the Western Conference. So they're somewhere in that ballpark still, but you just have to wonder how they're going to utilize those guards, and are they planning on playing them together? So it's going to be real interesting how Jeff Hornacek's utilizing. It's going to be interesting to see.
Just flashing past. Love Jeff Hornacek. Good feedback, Rob. I definitely appreciate how you brought it during the OT portion of the show. And I know we were kind of all over the map today, but we definitely appreciate feedback and whatnot too. So Rob, I don't know if you want to wrap up anything else as we get ready to end this Wednesday edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Good call for sure. Is there anything else you want to say before we get ready to wrap up the show?
Well, once again, we thank you all for continuing to support us and tune in. Continue to like us on Facebook.
Yes.
We post lots of information during the week, what's happening in the sports world. And stay tuned as we're going to be, as we're in the heart of fantasy football right now. And we certainly want to say thanks to all of our competitors and all three leagues for joining and competing with us. Of course, it's a lot of fun. And so we want to say thank you all. And just continue to spread the word about 12-man sports as we continue to grow. So we certainly appreciate that as well. And so definitely stay tuned. Like us on Facebook for some updates. And, of course, you'll be seeing some posts about fantasy basketball here coming up real soon. And also, of course, follow us on Twitter at 12th Man Sports. You definitely want to stay on top of that as well. And as we release what's happening in the sports world right to you.
Gotcha. Rob, good job, sir. Man, way to execute that, the closing there. But once again, we appreciate everyone. Be safe as you guys are preparing and doing what you got to do. We're looking forward to a great couple of days. Fantasy football is going nuts. I'm definitely looking forward to talking some more junk. It's a long season. I'm making a comeback in the words of LL Cool J. But anyway, Rob, good show on this Wednesday. Good night to everyone. They'll call it a comeback. Yeah, I've been here for years. We'll keep it moving, too. And, we'll have some fun on the Jazz. But anyway, wanted to say thank you to everyone for listening. Rob, thank you for the show. And for being my partner, as always, and I want to say good night. Good night, America.
Great show. Thanks a lot. Good night, people.